Hi, I'm Justin.
Also, I hate the way my voice sounds, so if you can, like, do whatever Photoshop does to voices, make me sound awesome.
And this is my lovely friend.
The beauty in the eyes of the beholder. And it's just about getting into the seat of being the beholder.
Haley.
I don't think you have to be particularly perceptive. I just think you have to look up.
This podcast is mostly just her telling me stories.
If you expose yourself to the possibility that this might be really awkward, there can be something just really cool on the other side of it.
She thinks that her life and way of looking at things are...
Oh, I thought I was kind of waiting on you. I thought you were getting your stuff ready. You're waiting on me?
Pretty normal.
You got to edit out all the misinformation about the Amish.
Maybe you can relate.
I would like a chance to re-sing the Amish paradise.
If you want lighthearted stories...
All right, you want to talk about goats?
And stream of consciousness.
I just woke up and needed some friends, and so I bought them.
Then you're going to like the Sunny Side Up podcast.
Sunny Side Up, Sunny Side Up, Sunny Side Up, Sunny Side Up.
So, if you're at all like me, you may feel that you're living in a world that can be a bit overwhelming and confusing at times. I'm also a huge fan of podcasts, documentaries, docudramas, stories, and of just information in general. Between all of that and the social media and news, sometimes our brains can feel like they're on overload. Haley and I hope that this podcast can be something of an antidote to all of that. Like little jello shots of joy and distraction. None of it is too serious or really too informative. Mostly it's just two friends who have conversational chemistry talking about whatever enters the minds of relatively ADHD people. We hope you enjoy.
Is that AA? Does AA make you call people that you've wronged?
It absolutely does. I've not been through the program, but I know I've talked to many people who've been through it, and one of the steps is you absolutely, somewhere in your 12 steps, you are calling every single person. You have to write that down, and then you have to call them all. Now, I think the exceptions to that are, and I'm sure, as usual, nothing's researched in this podcast, so... But I think the exception is like if it would somehow cause you harm or the person, like, let's say, God forbid, I hate to use a harsh one, like a rapist, but like if you did something like really, really awful to somebody, right? You wouldn't, like, it would cause so much more damage to the victim to call them back again. So in those cases, like, your sponsor will kind of walk you through, like, you know, like, I shot your boy 12 years ago. Super sorry about that. And they're like, you son of a bitch. You know?
Yeah.
There's like, I think there's exceptions to the rule. But then even in those cases, you have to imagine or someone has to be a stand-in and you still, like, you apologize for what you did. So, yeah, anyways, I think it's brilliant.
Interesting. Okay, because I was sitting here thinking of people I know that have gone through programs, and I don't know if they ever made it all 12 steps.
Yeah.
But I know I've never gotten a phone call from a few people that I feel like I should have gotten a phone call from.
Yeah.
But maybe that's it. Maybe it's that their sponsors are saying, maybe don't reach out to this one.
Right. It could be.
My direct exposure is limited to, so I don't know how... It impacts a lot, but if you ever get the chance to read some of Brennan Manning's books, he's pretty...
His name sounds familiar.
Oh, he's
precious.
And again,
I don't read, but
he wrote the Ragamuffin Gospel and a couple other books, but he has attempted and failed at most life ventures, and he's so transparent about it. Yeah, but like I think he even tried to be... maybe a priest and that didn't work, married but also divorced, and so he's like, okay, but we're still good, God still loves us. And he casually described, he didn't go into great detail about his experience walking through the program.
Wow. Yeah. You know, I remember listening to, do you know who Dax Shepard is?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Dax Shepard, I think it's Armchair Expert, I think it's his
podcast.
And I've only ever heard one. I think it was like the very first one, like his inaugural. So a lot of people love it. It's supposedly a great podcast. It wasn't for me, but I'm a weird, picky, I listen to a lot of podcasts, but it's hard for a podcast to get into my, like, you know.
On your radar.
Or
he interviewed the Avett brothers, and I listened to that
okay.
because I love them.
That's amazing. Yeah, I think I just did the one where it was the first one where he interviewed his wife, and I always thought she was adorable. And it was, I was like, I want to hear like their kind of dynamic and all this stuff. Anyways, long story short, he's in AA and goes, if I'm remembering right, he goes every week still, and he says that if there was like one thing he could recommend to every human on the planet is that we all should go.
Okay,
right,
I've heard
and that. Yeah, and one of my great friends, Aaron Carmen, who's running for mayor right now as we're recording this. So by the time this
what
comes
town?
Out, actually of Mableton, it's a newly formed slash forming.
Cool.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Aaron's the dude. But I remember Aaron saying that. What did Aaron say about it? Now I've lost my train of thought on what Aaron said about it. I believe he basically said, now I have to cut this part because I can't remember what he said about it. Dang it.
Like, about AA?
Yes, because I know he went through like one.
For non-alcoholic people?
Thank you. All right. I'll splice this back together again. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll cut that part.
Okay, yeah. So
except
Aaron,
for the part where I was being helpful.
No, you were being helpful, you're totally going to get credit for. Yeah, I like spaced. So I remember what it was. So at the church that we used to go to, Aaron was leading – it was a group for – it wasn't AA, and it wasn't like under an official – because there's another one too. There's the more Christian version. I can't remember what it's called.
Oh, really?
I
don't know.
You might know it if I said it. I just can't think of it.
The book I found at my dad's house was Narcotics Anonymous. So
right.
I'm sure that there's a bunch of different brands of the same similar thing.
Right. Now, this is like a genuine, it's like AA, but just the Christian version. So any which way, but so he was leading a group and you obviously did not have to be just alcoholic. It could be like porn addiction. It could be shopping addiction. It could be like whatever you were invited. But so I was chatting with him one day. And again, this is coming from a background that I didn't know anybody who was really an addict or at least that I knew of as an addict. So all of this was a new world for me, kind of coming into this new world. And when he started going into, he's like, basically, I could make the case for addiction so broad that it would include virtually every human on the planet. And he starts to go through just like, yeah, bad habits,
I mean,
bad thought
social
patterns.
Media, everybody's,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it, for a while, like, you know, you want to be like, oh, at least, you know, I don't do meth, so I'm not as bad as you. And then you're like,
but
there
an
you
addictive
go. Like,
personality
I'm,
is an addictive
yeah, and
personality.
I do have an addictive personality. I have to be very careful. Like, you know, when I was younger and I got addicted to video games for like about a year.
Tetris, I know.
Oh my, well, no.
I don't know about you, but I'm just saying, like, I relate. I get it.
There you go. Well, there is Tetris Anonymous now. They have that for people like you.
Thank goodness.
I haven't wanted to say anything.
We're just stacking the chairs without,
right.
Without end. No,
but
I,
yeah, so I thought that was a really cool thing he said, just like, it took some of the stigma away. So I think if you took Aaron's advice that every single person, we all do things, whether it's like bad thought habits to the way we eat, to the way we – whatever your thing is, all of us have addictive behavior. That's no bueno. And then if you take Dax Shepard's advice that every human on the planet would benefit
from
being in
program.
There, or especially every Western human on the planet, it's actually made me think like, I wonder if I should just join –
and just recreationally, like a small group.
Like a small group. Like, I'm not even kidding. Anyways, yeah, still never done it, so.
Okay, let's don't write that off. Let's revisit this. Let's, like, Google it, decide if it's for us.
But yeah.
I haven't had a recognized substance abuse issue, but there is a part of me that said, okay, I could be a person who has a problem, and I know this because several years ago, I was an undergrad, and E.L. Fudge came out with a particular type of cookie. It was a s'more.
Did you say E.L., E-E-L Fudge?
E.L. Fudge. The elf cookies? They're shaped like elves.
Elf Fudge.
Yes. And it's E period L period Fudge. So okay. If you squeeze it together, it says elf.
E.L. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Do you not know your Keebler products?
No.
What?
Keebler
okay.
Is not my – he is
it's
not
little
my...
elves that live in a tree and they elf. Make cookies, but it's just a little butter sandwich cookie with
yeah.
A chocolate filling.
Okay.
That's the standard.
Okay.
But they came out with a special one, and it was S'more Blasted E.L. Fudge cookies.
Okay.
And on a whim, I picked some up, and I tried them, and I was
yes.
Like, wow, like that lit up the dopamine centers in my head like a ping pong machine. I mean, like a pinball machine.
Yeah,
everything.
Yeah.
I was like, this is wonderful. It hits all the things I like.
Yes.
And so the next time I went to the store, I got another pack and then another pack. And then I began to buy multiple packs with each visit so that I wouldn't have to keep driving back to the store. And then I realized I'm eating like 7.5 packs a week of these cookies.
Wow.
Packs. That's a pack a day of cookies.
Wow.
Yes. So.
Impressive.
I just said, if they stop manufacturing them, I'm going to be so upset, but also I shouldn't be eating a pack and a fraction, a pack plus of cookies every day.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to not buy them. If I don't buy them, I can't eat them. So cold turkey stopped.
Problem solved.
Seemingly. And then we get to the end of the semester and I was like, how do you celebrate the end of the semester? You've got to do something fun for yourself.
With fudge.
So
hello.
I was like, yeah, I'm going to buy myself a pack of cookies. So off to the store I go. And they had indeed stopped manufacturing the S'more Blasted EL
Fudge
cookies.
God literally said, you're done. I'm taking your addiction and erasing it from the planet.
It was, that's not even what it felt like. I did not see that as God helping me in any way. The Lord has abandoned me. He has turned his eyes from me. But I was so sad. And so at some point, I even emailed the EL Fudge company, like, hey, I noticed that these aren't in my local store. Can you tell me where? And they're like,
did you start like a one-woman protest in front of the EL Fudge headquarters? Bring back
the Keebler. Well, so I emailed and they were like, yeah, there just wasn't enough demand. And I was like, nonsense. You didn't try hard enough. I never saw those cookies marketed. Not ever. Mm. I just stumbled across them in the store and took a chance.
Right.
But if you put half an effort into it.
Right.
And they were like, please accept this coupon for a free package of regular EL Fudge cookies. And man, I was so annoyed. I just gave my grandma the coupon.
Yeah.
Fast forward a few years and I have a friend who is working at Keebler. And I just thought that was the best job ever. He would eat fresh baked cookies in his meetings in the morning, like just fresh off the line. I didn't know that Keebler, I think I have the companies right here, that Keebler owns the Girl Scout cookies.
Oh,
so his division, I think, was the Girl Scout lines, actually. So he'd have Thin Mints fresh off the conveyor belt. Like, wow, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I asked him different things about some of the cookies that would come out, like, why raisins? Why not its superior alternative, a dried cranberry? And he's like, well, actually, it gums up the machine. And I was like, they're so similar to raisins. There's not a chance you're not having this problem with raisins and you're only having it with cranberries. And he's like, in fact, yes.
Big raisin got to him. Don't believe a word he's saying. Yeah.
Right.
The raisin lobby, which I'm not offended by raisins, but the amount of people that are, I feel like their lobby has to be strong.
They will ruin my day in a hurry. But I mentioned to him my passion for these cookies that had been discontinued, and is there any way to, you know, ever have a chance of reintroducing, or would he mind going and checking a warehouse to see if there might be some 5-year-old packages left over?
Yeah.
Because somebody did bring me a pack 2 years after they were discontinued that they found at a Big Lots, and that was like the highlight of my day.
Yeah.
But anyway, he was like, actually, yeah, so I'm going to mention this to my friend Amanda in product development, and he said, so
is she
here's
a really short person with like green pants by any chance?
One could only hope.
I hope so.
But he says, okay, so they can't reintroduce the exact same product after it's been canceled.
What?
But you could modify it in a very small way. And I was like, listen, campfire culture and going outdoors and all of that was not even in vogue when these cookies came out in the early 2000s.
That's right. Glamping with our hipster culture.
So much different. Yeah. And I was like, you could just reintroduce them with different branding. And there were subtle things that you could do to change this, right? Like the difference between some of the Keebler products and some of the Girl Scout cookies sometimes was as subtle as the type of flour used. Like the Keebler has the grasshoppers, Girl Scouts have the Thin Mints, and they're actually or the Caramel Delights and the Samoas.
Sure.
Like really comparable, Samoas. Coming out from under the same parent company.
Gotcha.
But one uses, the Samoa uses dark chocolate and the Caramel Dreams uses milk chocolate or something.
That's why I like the Samoas better. I love dark chocolate.
Well, I think that I have that right. We might have to go get packages and compare. But these were the things. So he said it could be a very subtle change.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
So he said, how about if we alter the shape? And I think it was his idea to make them square and put a hole in the middle as though you're going to put it on the end of a stick and roast it over a campfire, nice. But have the exact same cookie. And I was like, yes. And he proposed campfire cookies to Amanda in product development. And he's like, okay, she said that they're actually in the market for a new Girl Scout cookie to debut this year. So we'll see what happens. Dude, I kid you not. Within like a year.
Yes.
The very next Girl Scout cookie was a s'mores.
No.
It wasn't our campfire cookie. It doesn't have the hole in the middle for roasting, but it was a s'mores-themed Girl Scout cookie. And I just want you to know that you can be the change that you want to see in the world. You might have to have a friend named Bruce who works at the cookie factory to make it happen. But tell me that that's not power.
That's powerful.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I don't even know if they carried it this year because I never found a Girl Scout selling cookies and... Honestly, Katie had a very bad experience trying to be a Girl Scout, and so I vowed to never eat their cookies again. It's like a pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
But for that brief moment,
you know,
it wasn't the exact same cookie, by the way. I bought a box, didn't love them. Either I changed or they changed, but it wasn't the same.
Okay, it wasn't. Okay,
yeah,
okay.
So go back to
But I feel like that alone could, like when you pass on, could get you like a faded bronze statue in a town square somewhere.
Yeah, somebody could mention it. I wouldn't be sad.
Yeah.
That's noteworthy.
Maybe if for some reason I live longer than you, which seems highly unlikely, I can...
Not so unlikely when you consider my diet. Listen to this podcast and you'll know that Haley's
triglycerides
are going to catch up with her.
B, you're a woman, so you're already supposed to live like 5 years longer than me. So there's about 11 years of whatever you call it, data that says that you are going to go, I'm going to go before you. But either which way, in that scenario, I will go visit your fading bronze statue and watch pigeons poop on it and tell my great-grandchildren or whatever that you were the lady who helped come up with campfire Girl Scout cookie things.
Which were just called like s'mores cookies. And again, they may have already been discontinued since then. I'm not sure how successful they were.
Right. Irrelevant to my story.
Yep.
Yeah. Gosh, that is cool though.
Yeah. Thank you. And I don't currently have an addiction like that. So there's that.
Hello, lovely friends. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. And it would mean the world if you would tell other people about this podcast and maybe even spam your social media accounts with just how much you're enjoying it. If you are, of course. Also, commenting and rating us on whatever platform you're downloading or streaming from is incredibly helpful to a little startup podcast like this one. On the other hand, if you are dissatisfied with your listening experience, please leave all of that hate on someone else's podcast, just maybe to confuse them a little bit, right? But most of all, we hope you keep looking up and looking for the sunny side of life.